It's Trevor, it's Avery, it's Pat, it's the Citywide Special. The playoffs are here. The Eagles will face the Green Bay Packers in the wild card round on Sunday. Reserve QB Ian Book has been waived. Can we assume that Jalen Hurts will be good to go? Should we be worried about the Packers? The Flyers find themselves outside the playoff picture, going 3-6-1 in their last 10. Sam Ersson is hurt again. Will any moves from Danny Briere be coming? Is there any chance for the postseason? The Sixers turn in an ugly loss against the Suns on Monday. Joel Embiid has been looking more like himself when he does play. Can the Sixers still make a push for the playoffs? Could they be sellers at the deadline? All that and more coming up right now. How's it going, fellas?
So far, so good. Besides freezing my ass off, it's been cold.
It has been cold to start
the new year here. A little snowy to start the week as well. But all in all, in full recovery mode as we leave the holiday season and get started with 2025. I feel like that stretch between right before Christmas and post New Year's was just a lot of eating and drinking and celebrating, and my body definitely took a toll. I still sound like I got a stuffy nose, but we're getting through it.
Yeah.
Playoffs make it feel a little bit better, but yeah, other than that, I'm feeling pretty good.
Yeah, it's weird to be back. It's been what,
three weeks?
It's been
holiday hiatus, you
since
know.
Since Santa came to town.
Since the Santa Claus episode.
So yeah,
where I wasn't here, but yeah. Santa Claus.
It's been a while since we had Trevor on
fill
here.
In. Yeah, I know. It's nice to be back.
Fraud clown Santa.
Yeah,
he ain't real. But anyway, yeah, we're back. It's cold. It's snowy. Trevor, here's a question. So last year, I remember it snowed when I gave you the business about shoveling. It's probably nice now. You don't got to do none of it.
Yeah, I live in a big old apartment building. I don't do shit.
Yeah, so you don't got to worry about any of that.
You got to take care of nothing.
But yeah, it was. A lot of people didn't shovel when I was walking over here. A bunch of times I'm walking in the street to avoid from slipping on the ice.
Yeah.
People got to be shoveling, man.
Yeah. They should. I mean, what they should do is just give out citations to people who don't shovel. Give you a little ticket.
I would never get a ticket.
Mr. Law and Order.
On that shit.
I mean, hey, man, you can't. If you want people to do shit, you got to make them. You can't expect people to, you know.
I feel like people don't shovel regularly unless it's like at a certain amount of snow. I think people expect 1 to 2 inches. They're like, yeah, it'll just melt anyway. I'm not gonna shovel.
The problem is, like, it doesn't really. Like,
well, I know. People walk on it. Yeah. Compresses and it freezes overnight because it's going down to 20 every night.
I mean, is it also technically like the landlord's responsibility to do that shit? I'm pretty sure.
I mean, maybe on a technicality, but I feel like if you're there every day, how much does it cost? $15.
Yeah, I mean, you should just go ahead and shovel the walk. You know, if it's
especially
your walk,
we live in the city. You don't have to shovel a whole big.
It's also easier for yourself too. I'm not trying to stick because I don't want to shovel. The worst, though, is shoveling on the pavement that's like the little pebble pavement, and you can't quite get the full clean scoop, you know?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, that's when you need like a combination of salt like right on after that so you can melt whatever you don't get.
I hate that shit.
I saw this video of a guy who, like, he just, I guess the night before it was scheduled to snow, he just, the dude just put a tarp down on like his stoops and stuff and then just lifted the tarp up and just carried away all the snow. Didn't have to.
That's smart.
Honestly, genius.
Yeah, not bad. Not a bad idea.
Our steps don't really get that much snow, I guess, because of the overhang and the way it blows up the street. But the sidewalk was pretty messed up. But Hannah did it. She did the whole sidewalk and she did the whole curb so people didn't trip on the curb.
Damn, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just shoveled my little square. My neighbors next to me to my left, I don't really talk with them, but they're not bad people. They shoveled their little square. The guy with the three cars took him all day before he went out there and did his. He did it.
Nice.
So I can't be too mad at him, but he took him way too long. He's still parking his cars. He's not parking all three on the street. He's parking 1 to 2 on the street.
Did he clean all of his cars or just the one that he uses?
I think he just did the one that he uses. Yeah. The other two, the other ones on the street, I think it's still covered. The other one's around the corner yet.
See, but that's kind of brutal too. Could you let that shit sit on there? Now it's all ice and you can't really get it off and you're picking at it, scratching the car.
Especially once like it melts and then freezes again.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's really caked on there good.
It's just funny. You know, speaking of caked up napkin, it's just funny that, like, I feel like every time it snows, though, especially the first snowfall of the year, they're always like, well, were you there for the blizzard of 96? We got snow coming. It's like, can we just have a snowstorm or just a snow shower? Like, it's not a storm. If you don't get, like, 6 to 7 inches, it's just a fucking snow shower or whatever it is.
Yeah, the blizzard of 96, that was real, right? Like, that was, what, 3 feet?
Yeah, but every time we get snow, they're like, Yeah, just in case it hits that vortex, it's like it's never going to do that again. Philadelphia hasn't had significant snow in a while.
Yeah, it's probably been like 10 years since we had 1 to 2 feet of snow. We don't get snow.
Yeah, we had that one. How long ago was that?
That was about 10 years.
That was like right after the 2020, 2021. We got like 4 or 5 inches. It was enough to like...
Last year we got about 3 or 4 inches.
There was that one though, because Becky and I were still living next door. And we had, like, we shoveled our snow. We had, like, a giant mountain of snow that we shoveled.
Oh, yeah. I think in this, I guess it was 2022. Winter 2020. We went to the Sixers game that one time.
Yes.
Yeah, we got a decent amount of snow.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, so I guess we did get, that was probably, like, 5 or 6 inches, mm-hmm. which is a lot anymore.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, that's our threshold, I feel like. We're not going to get, like, a foot anymore around here.
Yeah, you don't get snowed in Mm-mm. like you used
to. They called off the schools on Sunday night.
Yeah. For that little bit of snow, but y'all remember back when we grew up, you were going to school unless there was like a foot of snow on the ground.
I remember waiting and like watching the TV, like watching the news like before for like your code, like the school code.
Yeah, yeah.
And being like, all right, well, the public schools had off. I'm like, all right, where are we? And like had to wait for the like Catholic schools and all that shit to hit through. Then that was nice. Then you hit up all your buddies. All right, what are we doing? Are we hanging out?
Well, our school, because we went to a school where basically everyone could walk to school, mm-hmm. like me and Trevor and Collingswood. So it was almost always the case where, everyone like around us, every other school district had off. They would almost always skip our number. You're sitting there listening to the radio. It goes 550, 552, 553. We're like, hold up. They didn't call 551. And then it's, 551. If you're lucky, you have a delayed opening.
Damn.
Well, they didn't say it like that, but sometimes they'd go 551.
I hated a 2-hour delay.
See, I
love the delayed.
I didn't mind a 2-hour delay. Nice.
I mean, at that point, then why are we doing this? Sleep.
Yeah, and the teachers, when you show up to school, the teachers don't feel like doing anything, and all the periods in high school got condensed. Mm-hmm. So then you go from a 41-minute period to 30 minutes, and it's like, oh yeah, I can't be nearly as productive. Mm-mm. So yeah, the teachers kind of let you off easy. I used to like the delayed openings.
I just, at that point,
they were underrated because you never had to make those up at the end of the year.
That's true.
Snow days, you used to have to make those things up. You'd be in school until June 20th. I ain't trying to deal with that.
Well, I can't worry about that shit anymore.
That's what you think. Still going to high school. Nah, imagine going to high school now. That'd be wild, you know. I walk in there with a gray in my beard. I'm here to learn. Yo, kids got it made in school now, though.
Like what? Like what do you mean?
They can probably cheat so easily.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with phones and shit. You know what
I mean? And
ChatGPT and all that shit.
ChatGPT to write your papers?
Mm-hmm.
Yo. Yeah.
It's true.
That's probably dope.
I think they said that was like the case with all the AI and shit like that.
Yeah.
It's making it harder for kids to catch. I saw something
saying that the usage of ChatGPT during the summer just plummets. Like it's just a homework machine. Yep. Is basically all it is. Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing people used to tell us growing up, you're not going to be able to use a calculator. You got to be able to know how to do long division in your head. I got this thing called a cell phone. You know what, Mrs. Philanook, Mrs. Wojton, I got this thing called a cell phone, yo. Yeah. I don't need to do no long division in my head. And kids now, they can just ask ChatGPT to do it for them.
It does math like that too?
Probably.
Probably.
Nuts.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't trust it to do trigonometry or pre-calc.
I got a review once at work. I was like,
you still need that old TI-98 for that shit.
Or yeah.
89 or
whatever. The old mule. Playing games on those. Yeah,
they already had like Snake on it and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, Snake was underrated, yo, as far as, what do you call it? As far as early cell phone technology.
Technically, yeah.
Snake was the OG game, dude. Snake was dope. It was like Space Invaders on your cell phone.
Yeah.
That was cool. See, man, we need to bring that back.
We need to go back. We need to regress in technology, not progress.
I mean, you could come out with remasters of movies and remakes of movies. Come out with Snake the Remake.
Dude, I have been getting back into my CDs, dude. I like finally reorganized all of them after the movie. Yeah, so
what do you play them on?
I have like a little Blu-ray player, so I just play them through the TV at the moment. But, at some point I want to get, like, a decent, like, speaker John for him. But yeah, it's kind of nice. Like, I got them all set up and now, like, but it is cool to just, like, have your own little collection of shit.
Play a CD all the way through, too.
Yeah, just put it on, play it all the way through. like, you know, play some stuff I haven't listened to in a long time. Because sometimes, you know, you want to, like, listen to something and you just, like, open up Spotify or whatever. And it's just like, all right, what do I, in history of recorded sound, what do I want to listen to right now? And it's just, like, overwhelming. Yeah. So it's kind of nice having, like, you know, over the years, your collection of stuff that is, like, good enough for you to actually go out and buy that you just
Plus,
have.
You can see it all easily. I feel like sometimes on Spotify, too, I get stuck with that where, like, I'll think of something to put in, and then by the time I go to put in, I forget what I was thinking about.
And then sometimes there's just randomly shit that's not on there.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the worst.
I was trying to play, like, I was trying to find, like, a while ago, I was trying to find this one, like, Danny Brown album. And it's as they have, like, everything but the one album I was looking for. I was like, what the fuck? But I have it on CD. So.
And it sounds better.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I get that nice lossless audio. Hell yeah, dude. Hey, yeah, I'm getting into that. I kind of understand the appeal of, like, you know, people that collect vinyl now, but I just do that with CDs.
I mean,
CDs are cheap as
fuck. It was funny too, 'cause I hadn't bought a CD in, like, a long time. And so, like, the other day, I just had them get something on Amazon, and I was like, you know, let me get some fucking CDs while I'm on here. So I was like, I don't actually have any Bruce Springsteen CDs, so I just got like four of them.
Oh, that's what's up. Yeah. And they're How all much
like,
did you pay?
They're all like, I think one of them was like 13, but the other ones were like less than $10.
Yeah.
That's great.
The CDs are cheap as fuck.
We had to do that a lot when we had the Silver Jeep because it didn't have an aux cord. So in a 3-hour trip to Delaware, you know, round trip, whatever, we were like, all right, well, we can't listen to the radio dying out every time. So we were buying mad CDs. Or we'd go thrifting, and you'd get a lot of good shit there, too, for like a buck or two.
Yeah, that was like when I used to drive my dad's car. That's why, because it was in that era between where there was no tape deck, so I couldn't use the aux cord tape deck thing. And there was no aux cord built into the unit itself, so I had to do CDs. Yeah, but CDs, man. All I know is whenever they officially come back, I'm going to be ready because I got like 350 of those motherfuckers.
Yo, I got a bunch too.
So they were all out of order when I moved because we were just like, you know.
Throwing shit in boxes.
Yeah, exactly. So I had, like, I went through and I made like a spreadsheet and I just listed every single one. And then I had to color code them by like.
Oh, you really went all
out. Well, I had to color code them by the shelf that they were currently on.
Do you have a tower?
And then
after
I listed them all, I alphabetized them, but they were like, they had the color codes. Then I could just pick them from the thing and then start putting it in order and stuff. This took like a day.
How many CDs? You have a lot of CDs that you had to do that.
Yeah, it was like, I think like I had, what was it? What did it end up being?
Because I probably have about 150 or so, but a lot of them I don't have the packaging. They're just in a...
Like a loose disc, in the tube
thing? Yeah, they're in, like, the booklet.
Right.
The CD booklet.
Yeah.
Like, I have a bunch, too, but...
Yeah, it's... I have 331.
Jesus.
God damn.
Yeah.
Damn, you probably got a bunch of stuff in there. That's wild.
Yeah.
That's what's up, though. You're preaching to the choir, man, I'm working at a disc manufacturer. I don't work on the disc making side no more, but...
Yeah, but the same with movies, too. Like, if you have movies that you really like...
Yeah, DVDs
and Blu-rays. You can't rely on
the
shit being on streaming. Yep. Like, yeah. And sometimes the streaming quality sucks, like...
Or if it's on Amazon Prime, you got to pay for it to rent it or to buy it.
And you only get to rent it for 2 days.
And the way they have shit on streaming now is that it's basically optimized for so people can watch it on their phone and shit. So it's, like, it's never going to be, like, the best... I don't know, like...
Yo, that is true. Yo, I always have to turn the sound up so loud.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, the sound on. It does,
oh my god.
There's like a whole. There's like actual like reasons for that. It's like the way that
certain streaming services. I do have to crank it up.
Yeah.
Like I know if I'm going to Apple TV, it's got to be like 18, but if I go to Amazon, it's got to be like 25.
Yeah,
dude. We got to go back to analog, baby.
Yeah, back.
Let's burn this shit to the ground.
Back to analog. Back to Snake on the phone.
Yeah, no more AI. No more iPhones, no more...
T98s, that's what we need.
Podcasts, let's keep those, though.
Yeah, we'll keep the technology here. Yeah.
You keep downloading our little radio show to your devices, but, you know.
People are tuning into the old-fashioned radio, listening to us talk. Like, fuck?
Yeah, what do you call that thing, a phonograph?
Yeah, a little, like...
Like the... Instead of a fireside chat, it's just us?
Yeah, dude.
That'd be cool.
Talking about the birds.
So yeah, I guess
talking about the birds.
Yo, speaking Trevor, you got that clip loaded up, yo?
Oh yeah. So yeah, this is our back in May, our season predictions.
Yeah. So where are we all tallied up? I have four losses. I have five. I got 12-5, first place in the NFC East.
I got six losses, but still first place in the NFC East. So I got us third in the NFC.
I'm between that's fucked up. I'm between 14-3 or 15-2. I was close.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, that's I'm rocking with it right now.
Oh no,
Jeffrey Lurie's gonna run for president last minute and win
that into the.
I think that honestly, the way this team is built and the things that they've done this offseason has given me confidence to say that without actually faltering at all. I think that the schedule is pretty light. Again, it all hinges upon how this team shows up with these new coordinators, and that it could all blow up in our face big time. But I think with the roster they have and the players they have on paper right now, you know, you got a great defensive coordinator right now. I think way better than we had last year in terms of the scheme they could come up with. You have youth, which is huge, as we've seen in the NBA, where you got guys that try to bring in old heads that can't do it.
The Sixers.
The NFC East is pretty easy, so we should win the division. And the offense, if we had just had a decent offensive coordinator last year, we wouldn't have lost all those games at the end of the season. We could have ended the season 14-2 as well. So, like, little things like that happen. I think they've adjusted that thing, and I'm not going to lie. You split with Dallas, you lose to Baltimore, that could be it. You might lose to Cincinnati, sure, but everybody else,
Cincinnati,
you should really beat.
Well, if we play Cincinnati now, maybe we
would
lose.
Green Bay had a great run at the end.
Played good,
but Dallas is a fucking fraud-ass team anyway in the playoffs, so like they had that great run. That was fine. Then they got almost...
All
right. Yeah, we don't need to keep going into that, but yeah, man.
Yeah, that's so funny that you called it.
Nuts.
Yeah.
They didn't get the right teams, obviously, but 14-3, here we are.
Yeah, man. The other thing that was funny about that too was listening to you, like us, predict some of the games. The Cowboys game, Pat, you called it that it was going to be a blowout. You said, "Yeah, we are due for a blowout and a game that means something against Dallas," and we won the division.
Yeah,
that game
in a blowout fashion. I didn't predict backups in there and all that, but yeah, I mean,
you did call Kenny Pickett winning a game against a division rival. You called it against the Giants. So, sort of right, he helped us win against the Cowboys. And then Tanner McKee, the other backup,
cleaned it up,
came in again and beat the Giants. Yep. So, all in all, you did a good job. You killed it.
Had a good feeling this year, you know. I mean, the team did what they were supposed to do, as we all thought the potential they had going into the season. You know, we healthy, which was good. No, I mean, we had our bumps in the road with drama for sure, where the locker room looked a little bumpy, but that was whether or not outside factors are not kicking in, but the team looks fucking good. I mean, sure, you got the NFC North where, you know, Packers and Lions and Vikings look really good, but again, I think that they're kind of a bloated team as well. I think the Eagles are the team to beat right now in the NFC.
Yeah, Vikings looked like ass on Sunday. They were like within the 10-yard line for like 1,000 fucking snaps.
Sam Darnold stood up.
Sam Darnold, dude.
Yeah,
Sam Darnold is who we thought he was.
And all they had to do was shake him a little bit.
Play the fucking Rams as the 5th seed,
which they had a week off. Ouch. I mean, they rested all their starters, you know.
Yeah,
the Rams.
So I mean, I think the Rams could be sneaky. The only team I'm afraid of really in the playoffs, maybe Washington a little bit, if we had to play them a third time. That's the only reason why I would be scared of them. But would be Tampa. Tampa's like...
Really?
I don't know what it is about them. Not that they're better than us.
I'm scared of them, but...
It's just because,
I mean, at least you wouldn't have to go to Tampa, which...
That's true, but
I think
like...
that helps.
I mean, we closed up the vet championship game style, and they beat us with, you know, Rondé Barber and all that shit. So I don't... Home or away, something about
a few
that
different
team.
Players on the team.
Something
now,
about that team, though, does not. I don't know what it is. The Eagles have a weird thing with Tampa Bay.
See, yeah, I agree with that. Tampa is the team that I would say I'm probably the most afraid of, and I would say second most is the Lions, right? Because yeah, you can say the Lions are banged up. This team, they're playing winning on smoke and mirrors. To an extent, that's true, but it's not a great matchup for the Eagles. Watching the Lions' defense as banged up as they are, they blitz a ton. And what did the Eagles... Hurts was better against the blitz this year. But then what the Eagles traditionally struggle with the last few years is the blitz. I mean, we'll see. We got to get there first. I'm not going to do a whole preview against the Lions until we make it and they make it. But I don't... I would say I still fear the Bucs more, but I think people are kind of just thinking the Eagles are better than the Lions because they're injured.
No. Again, we don't need to dissect the whole thing, but I think what makes me feel better about the Eagles versus the Lions is that, sure, they're, I mean, the Lions offense is what ranked one and two. I mean, they're first in points per game and top three and everything else, but, you know, their defense is ranked mediocre. You know, they're mid-20s and everything, and our offense is decent enough to beat that. I trust our defense more against their offense, is what I'm saying.
Like their offense,
I trust our defense more against their offense than our offense against their defense.
It's still, at the end of the day, Jared Goff. Like, if you make that man, you know, stutter a little bit and get pressure on him, he's not the same guy that's going to throw four or five touchdowns. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not afraid of them. Where Tampa, they just... I don't know. They're just a tricky team when the Birds have to play them. Yeah. But we're playing Green Bay this week.
Did you see were you guys watching that game? Did you see the Cure Auto Insurance commercial with Jared Goff?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, man. I don't know. Like, they have, like...
Oh, wait, maybe I did see
this. Those commercials are always kind of weird.
Oh, yeah.
His was especially weird. It's so funny. I don't know. It's so funny. It's just, like, getting interviewed... He's, like, getting interviewed by this, 70-year-old woman.
She used to be... ESPN.
She was just some random ESPN
personality like 20 years ago.
Yeah, and I don't know. She's like just says something generic like, "What's your secret to whatever the fuck?" And then he's just like, "I support Cure Auto Insurance." And then she just says, "Nice." it's just so fucking weird.
Yeah, he's a weird dude.
Yeah, he's a goofy bully.
Awkward guy.
But we play Green Bay this week.
Yeah, we'll worry about them when we get to
them. Start the season with Green Bay. And, you know, starting the postseason against Green Bay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy to think that game in Brazil against them was only 4 months ago.
Yeah.
I think Cam Jurgens said it. He said, yeah, that feels like it was a year ago.
It does.
Yeah.
In Brazil, you know,
in another country, 85 degrees here that day or whatever. It was hot that day, early September. You remember the field was all jacked up?
Yep.
Jimmy Carter was still alive.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter. Better days. Jimmy Carter died. Hold up.
Pour one out.
Yeah, we're not in Trevor's basement. I can pour one out now. Hey, you did it, not me. I guess I'll do it too.
Damn, not that much, Dobkin. Yeah, I mean, they both had great seasons.
Oh, wait.
You assassinated Jimmy Carter?
I meant to do this one.
Still, you would
three gun salute, baby. Yeah,
not
the machine gun. You were there mowing him down when he's in hospice.
That's what I wanted him to do at my funeral. Is just fire a machine gun. 21 gun salute.
Everyone's pulling out their
Uzis. With the big chain and everything. Like, yeah.
Oh, it's too funny.
Gotta write that. Put that in my will tonight when I go home.
But I think, you know, it's gonna be colder shit out on Sunday. The link's gonna be rocking. The fans had a bye week last week as well, so we all got to recuperate. You know, no one's out there yelling, getting crazy. I think it's going to be a blowout, to be honest with you. I feel that in my loins because, you know, I mean, Jordan Love could be banged up, which is whatever. He's still a decent quarterback.
He's good.
Josh Jacobs is a great running back. You know, he's put up great yards this season. Another running back, kudos to him for leaving his team and getting it paid and having a tremendous year elsewhere. The Christian Watson thing, if he plays or not.
No, he's out. They think he tore his ACL.
Well, I think he's gone.
I think it's irrelevant, honestly, if he plays or not.
Gone.
He's fifth on their team in receptions, fifth on their team in touchdowns. Like, he's not like he's a major factor. It's not like we lost A.J. Brown. He would be annoying.
I did see that some of their overall passing stats are very different with him on and off the field this year. Because I think he does stretch the field for them, opens up some stuff for other players. So I think it's a pretty big deal that they lost him.
Maybe as a diversion standpoint, but as a usage standpoint, the numbers aren't like.
Yeah, I mean, 600 they yards this year. They don't run their offense through him, but I think you're underselling the fact that, like Trevor said, they rely on him to run deep to draw the attention so that then they can hit you over the middle and get yak and all that good stuff. So, I would say it's not the most significant loss they could be if they lost Jacobs or, hell, if they lost Tucker Kraft even.
Yeah.
Then it'd probably be maybe more concerning, which is weird to think, but we don't do well against tight ends.
No, and he's second on their team in receiving yards right now.
Yeah, the Watson injury, it's a big deal. I think the Jordan Love injury, depending on how serious it is, that's going to be a problem, man. If it's an elbow injury, that bone's all tender. It sounds
like he just got a funny bone thing. That's what they were saying. I don't
know. It sounds like it was a funny bone that he just ended up taking a break.
I can't feel anything in my arm.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it could have gotten a little nerve damage.
Could just be a little banged up all season. I had him in fantasy. He was banged up all the time.
I was seeing some classic, like, WIP guy type shit from Green Bay fans on Twitter being like, no, I just think I like the offense better with Malik Willis.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, no.
Keep Tanner McKee in there.
Yeah.
Yo, hold up. Tanner McKee was all right, though.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I didn't actually watch the game live, but I watched the highlights.
Quite predictable, though, toward the end. Like, he has his classic rollout to the right, throw to his fun guys.
So here's the deal.
Like,
the first half, he was good. But once they called up to him, you could see, there's a ceiling. And
there's a reason why we didn't blow him out. There's a reason why it stopped at 20-13 or whatever it was. Like, that the second half was, A, it got real cold. B, the game as itself got ass. Like, nothing.
There was no juice.
It was nothing. It was bad.
Yeah.
But, no, I
went to Cosme's after the game.
Oh, hell yeah.
You see that?
He went to Cosme's?
Yeah, Tanner McKee went to Cosme's.
Oh, that's
what's
up. Nice. The Mormon missile. Like, I'm not usually
that shit was funny.
A man of the Mormons.
A hoagie crawl staple at Cosme's Deli. Mm. Like, Nathan Dickinson.
I don't really get down with Mormons. Oh, yeah, Cosme's. You should sponsor us, by the way. we could use a hoagie sponsor. But anyway, I don't get down with Mormons. But as far as Mormons go, Tanner McKee's cool in my book. Yo.
Yeah,
he can have as many wives as he wants.
Yo, he drove to the airport to pick his parents up.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying that during the game. Most guys, they'll have their parents take an Uber or something. He drove them to his drove the airport, picked them up, and they just stayed with him. That's a good man right there. He's not making them stay in a hotel. That's our purebred Mormon boy who speaks Portuguese. Remember this?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot about that.
The Brazil game, he was speaking fluent Portuguese. The interviewers were asking him questions, and he was answering them Portuguese. He's a good dude.
Our secret weapon in the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Green Bay is a good team. Their defense is decent. But I think Jair Alexander is out as well.
Yeah,
so that's big.
That just helps out everybody on the receiving side of the ball for us. You know, now A.J. Brown's got their second best guy. Devontae's got their third best. Maybe Jahan Dotson can do something a little bit different now that he got
94 yards.
If anything, it's a confidence booster for him because he's been pretty quiet this season. But at the same time, it's like, you know, whenever we needed to go to him, he was there and caught the ball for a first down. But with A.J. Brown, Devontae, Goddard, Saquon, like, it's just so, you know, you're not going to be the number one, even the number two look all the time. Like, you're just there if we need you.
Yeah.
But I feel good about it.
How are we feeling about Jalen Hurts? Now, we did see Ian Book got waived, which is a pretty good indication that Jalen Hurts is
going to
start the game. But are we worried at all that he's maybe not going to be 100% or rusty?
Well, a concussion isn't the same as, you know, a shoulder injury.
Right.
Right? The concussion, you can either play with it or you can't. So he's going to be 100% in terms of health. Like, yeah, I guess he has the broken finger on the non-throwing hand. But even that's had 3 weeks to recover at this point. So, yeah, I think I don't see him being less than 100%. There could be a little rust to shake off. You know, you haven't played in a few weeks. It's the playoffs. The intensity steps up a little bit. I mean, we saw it, 2 years ago in that game against the Giants? He was a little rusty at first. Mm-hmm. We still won, and then we came out and whooped the Niners. But he could be a little shaky to begin with. At the same time, I mean, this team is such a run-based offense that, hell, we may only need him to throw it 20 times that game. If that's the case, if he can complete 12 to 15 passes, throw for something like 180, 200 yards, run for 50 more, then yeah, it's fine if he's a little rusty.
I think rust will be natural. I mean, I think, honestly, if they needed him to play last week, I feel like he probably would have passed. Like, what they might say he didn't pass protocol and everything, but I don't think they were really pushing him to get back out there. I think the rust will probably be a little bit there, but I don't think we're going to have as much rust as, you know, you would expect if he was hurt, like you said. I don't think he'll be firing off on all cylinders like he was in the game that he got hurt in Washington, where he had three scoring drives right in a row in the first quarter. But he won't be as stagnant, I think, you know, the first couple of weeks where he's throwing picks in the red zone and shit like that. Hopefully it's a fine balance of in between where we march up the field, have good drives, keep the ball out of Elliott's foot for as long as you can in the playoffs, I think, especially anywhere beyond 25 yards.
Yeah, that's crazy. He missed a 39-yarder.
So I think that you have to rely on just Saquon, the run game, and little digging dunks to get him comfortable first. But I think he's going to be good to go. I'm not concerned at all about his head injury.
Yo, did you think that hit that concussed him was dirty? That was late.
I thought it was dirty as hell. I thought it was dirty the day that it happened.
Yeah. Borderline, I think.
I know he wasn't technically going down, like giving himself up. However,
he's already on the ground.
If that's, you know, Brady back in the day, if that's any, you know, that's a flag and a half right there, at least, or a fine. I thought that was a dirty ass hit.
So what you're saying is, if that's a white quarterback, it's a fine.
Or a guy that, like, is, you know, Pat Mahomes. You can say
if it's a white,
Pat Mahomes.
Well, he's half white, so.
Yeah.
I mean, Lamar Jackson doesn't usually get hit. That's all. I just mean, you know, someone that's.
No, you can
more,
say, like,
people all.
I'll say it.
I mean, more so someone that doesn't get shit talked all the time. Like, people love Tom Brady. People love, you know, certain quarterbacks. People always talk shit on Jalen Hurts. Certain
quarterbacks.
People love Lamar Jackson, too. Except but he doesn't get hit like that, except though.
The people that say he's overrated and he's not really that good because he doesn't perform in the playoffs, even though he's one of the best quarterbacks of our generation.
I mean, he definitely doesn't play well in the playoffs, but that's whatever. Topic for another day. I'm just saying. Yeah, I thought it was a dirty hit for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he was already on the ground and the Commanders knew what they were doing that game. Because think about it. If Hurts plays that game, we win. We might be a one seed.
We were already beating her. It was 21-0 in the first quarter.
Yeah, right.
They had to do something.
So, yeah, if we do end up playing them, we got to get past Green Bay first, and they got to get past – who do they play?
Tampa.
They got to get past Tampa. Oh, no, we can't play them till the NFC Championship.
Because they're the lowest
– Yeah.
We would play – if Tampa wins, we would play Tampa, I'm pretty sure. But if Washington wins, we play, I guess, either the Rams or the Vikings.
I have a pulled up here. Let me see.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if Tampa Bay and the Rams win, the Eagles play Tampa Bay. If Tampa Bay and Minnesota wins, the Eagles play Tampa Bay. If Washington and the Rams win, the Eagles play the Rams. If Washington and Minnesota win, the Eagles play Minnesota. So there's no way for us to play Washington next week. Unless, there's a 50% chance we play Tampa, which I don't like. We'll worry about that when we get there, though.
Tricky, yeah. But, yeah, I think it'll be a good test for the young guys. I'm excited to see Quinyon and Cooper DeJean at the link in the playoffs. Get them experience that vibe in there. But, yeah, I'm predicting a pretty strong Eagles win here.
All right. You got a number or nah?
I'm going to say somewhere in the ballpark of
I think the line is 3.5.
I saw 4.5 today.
Oh, really? Did it move?
Yeah, it moved. Yeah,
right, once the Hurts got confirmed. Or not confirmed, but basically.
I'm going to say 34-20.
Damn, okay. So, yeah, from my point of view, the Packers, yeah, I understand that they are kind of limping to the playoffs, literally and figuratively. They lost to the Bears on a last-second field goal in a game that they really should have been trying to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understand all that. I understand that their record against teams with above 13 wins, which is essentially just us, the Vikings, and the Lions. Well, their division
doesn't help them out, yeah.
But they're 0-5.
Mm-hmm.
I understand all that, but I think they're a good team, man. Jordan Love was banged up much of the season. I had him in fantasy. I didn't have a good fantasy year, I'll put it that way, because he was injured a lot. Jaden Reed kind of faded down the stretch. It's a dangerous team. Josh Jacobs, I remember before the season opener, I was saying Josh Jacobs was washed. Anything but.
He had fantastic He had a really good year. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, their offense, they're number 4 in DVOA in the whole league. And that takes into account that they play a tough schedule against 13-plus win teams. So I think they're more formidable than we're probably giving them credit for. At the same time, I don't know. I think they can be got, right? Like, they're 7th in DVOA on defense. The Eagles are 13th in offense, but number 1 in D. So I think Hurts is going to come out rusty. We're going to be relying on Saquon a lot, which is what you rested him for and prevented him from getting the record, is so that he could come out and have a big game. He's going to be juiced, yo.
Yeah.
He's playing playoff football for a contender.
In this crowd?
A Giants team that limped in the playoffs or snuck in every year. So, yeah, he's going to be amped. I don't know if Hurts has the biggest game, but I think that we win behind a strong performance from Saquon. I got 25-21.
Close.
Yeah, I think it's going to be close because I think Green Bay's pretty good.
I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying that I think that this defense is going to take care of that offense is all. They're coming in a little banged up, that's all.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm going to call it 27-23 Eagles. Mm-hmm. I think Green Bay, I think Matt LaFleur, with like 5 minutes left in the game, is going to settle for a field goal.
He does that.
And they ain't going to see the ball again. That's what's going to happen.
He does dumb stuff like that sometimes. Yeah. A lot of those, like, a lot of these young hipstery type coaches, they aren't aggressive when the cards are down or when chips are down, yeah, or whatever the figure of speech is.
Yeah, when their dicks are out.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, when the balls are on the table. But anyway, yeah, they clam up a little bit. They turtle up. So yeah,
I mean, Sirianni does that too, kind of.
Yeah, but Sirianni's aggressive. He's more aggressive enough sometimes. Yeah.
Sometimes stupidly aggressive.
He gets a little conservative sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah, but I don't know.
It's another discussion for another day.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Who do you think we end up playing? So I laid it out there. Are we playing Tampa? Are they beating?
I think Tampa Bay probably beats Washington.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think I don't know. Something about it. Something in my gut has the Rams beating Minnesota.
The Vikings looked really fraudulent that game the other night.
So if the Rams do that, then we play the Rams?
Mm-mm. So if Tampa and the Rams win, we play Tampa. The only scenario in which we play the Rams is
if Washington wins?
Yeah, exactly, okay. And the Rams win.
Well, oh, man.
We could play Minnesota. That'd be fun to play that fraud-ass team.
I want Washington to win then, but I feel like Tampa's going to win, and I have a gut feeling that the Rams are going to pull it off. Which then would send the Rams to fucking Detroit.
Yeah.
Which,
oh, big Stafford and Goff revenge game.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be an interesting storyline.
Dude, I would love it if the Lions could get knocked off in the divisional round or something. Yeah. We could potentially get three home games.
That's what I'm saying.
That'd be sick.
I would love it. My backing cow would hate it, but I would love it.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, we'll see.
And I'm 2-for-2 in championship games so far down there in the last couple of years. Okay. So if they get far,
we need you there, yo. All right, is that about it on the Eagles?
I think that's right? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's too much else. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to talk about with the
previous games.
Me, yeah. I didn't. Yeah. I went to the movies.
Yeah.
I went and saw Conclave.
Oh, nice.
Which was really good.
It got a couple. Did it get an award?
It got best screenplay at Golden Globes.
Looks like it was shot really well.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Well, moving on then.
Yeah, we want to talk about now.
Well, let's hit the Sixers.
Sixers.
We'll do the good.
The bad,
and then the Flyers will be the ugly,
nice.
I guess.
All right. Yeah. I mean, there's some signs of life.
Kind of. It's like, yeah.
You know, like it's not.
I'm still fading the Sixers.
I just can't buy in, man. That game last night was just, ugh.
It was horrible.
Horrible. Like that. That's one of that game was like, not only am I losing my faith in the Sixers, but I might be losing my faith in humanity entirely. It was that bad.
Yeah.
Just. Oh, my God. Could not make a fucking shot. Like, Maxey looks bad. Paul George looks bad.
Maxey did finish the game strong.
Yeah, I guess so.
He ended up, like, the fourth quarter, he was the only one scoring anything.
Yeah, yeah. But just, not great.
No, like, the thing about it is they got you all hyped up, right? They got me all hyped up, us all hyped up. They beat the Celtics.
After the Christmas
game. They beat the Spurs at home without Embiid when Embiid got ejected. Which I wanted to talk about that, but we didn't record the pod for a few weeks. NBA refs have gotten so soft, yo.
Oh,
you remember this game?
Same game? Yeah,
we got to talk about this. Right? Even though it was almost a month ago,
Drummond and brought him back.
Yeah. So
what a shit show.
The refereeing in general. I had a whole thing about this, but we didn't record, so I'm going to do it now. So refereeing across sports in general has gotten awful. So you remember. Before the Sixers played the Spurs and all that happened, the game before that was the Eagles game against Washington where they threw CJGJ out when he got punched in the face.
Yeah.
Yes.
How the hell does he get called
right in front of the ref?
An unsportsmanlike conduct when he gets hit in the face? And even he was like, and then the ref, he points at the ref and the ref throws the flag on him.
Right.
Like, what the hell?
That game was doomed from the beginning, honestly.
And then he gets thrown out later, and we don't even see why.
Yeah.
I did think it was funny as he got thrown out. The Fox cameras picked him up going, what'd I do, though?
Yeah.
Hey, Big Dom's at, like, walking him back. He's like, what'd I do, though? Then he flips the double birds. I thought that was hilarious. But then, yeah, fast forward to the following day, Monday, the Sixers are playing the Spurs, and Drummond and Wemby are getting into it in the post, like, getting into it. They're just establishing position or whatever. And they get a little physical, and the refs call a foul on Drummond. So then they start trying to do the same thing again, Joff from position in the post. And then Wemby steps on Drummond's toe and falls. And then the ref goes and throws Drummond out of the game.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's like, you just turned this whole thing into you. And then after that, she goes, did you see this, where they, like, picked her up going to Nick Nurse, yeah, sorry, I fucked up, Drummond's back. Then Drummond comes back into the game. You see him coming through the tunnel, putting his jersey back on. And then he comes
they should,
out.
They should have played that up and made it like a wrestler entrance or whatever. Oh my god, is that Drummond's music?
He's got a fucking steel chair.
With the big like robe on top and just sheds it off.
Takes out him with the fucking chair. Yeah.
So the fans gave him standing out like he was a wrestler coming back, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So then fast forward 10 minutes later, Embiid goes into the lane and Embiid kind of flops, but Wemby also flops. And they call an offensive foul on Embiid. Okay, they both flopped. Embiid was the aggressor. Whatever. So then Embiid kind of loses his mind and, like, goes up and, like, says, like, what? Blah, 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 blah. Like, gets in her face. She gives him one technical. Then Embiid starts walking back to the bench. He doesn't even really say anything. He probably yells, like, yeah, that's fucking bullshit. And then she throws him out of the, throws him out of the game. And it's just, like, you just turn this whole showdown between, like, two of the best centers in the NBA into a big ref show. So, like, this is my question to y'all. Has this gone too far where, like, refs just, they command too much of the game, regardless of the sport? I mean, we see it all the time. Like, you see it in hockey, too, when dudes want to fight, and they just break it up for no reason sometimes.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, at the end of the day, this is an entertainment product. And right. If you're a referee, you have to understand that and be like, part of your job is to take verbal abuse. Like, right. I'm sorry, yeah. Like, if that is part of the job. Like, people are going to yell at you. People are going to be mad at you. You can't take it personally and start throwing out texts or ejecting people or whatever. I mean, yeah, I feel like this for a while, this used to be something that I feel like was more contained to baseball. And now it's just every sport. They're all a bunch of fucking prima donnas and want to insert themselves into the game. And it's
I feel like it went to like stupid. Baseball, football, now basketball. Because like football, if there were ever like a big game or things like that and you knew like Ed Hockley was coming to town, you'd be like, fuck. Because that guy was a stickler for every little ticky-tack foul, any kind of taunting, which I didn't realize was a thing until, you know, some, those refs come in were like even pointing to a guy that like flagged 15-yard penalty. I mean, I understand that like player safety and making the game more, I don't know, viewable for kids or whatever is a thing. But like at the same time, to your point, like refs are there to be annoying. So you're going to get yelled at by the players. And the players are going to naturally yell at each other because they're competing against each other for over an hour. Like, emotions run high. You know, there's rivalries and things like that that get involved. Like, let them play out. No fan is ever like, oh, man, thank God. Like, you know, they stopped the game for 5 minutes.
Yeah. To like, no fan's going to be like, I'm just disgusted by this.
No.
Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, like, part of the one thing that I feel like as a fan that I kind of get annoyed at is how, like, buddy-buddy, like, players are with each other now on the other side. It's just like, you guys want to, like, talk and have drinks after the game. I don't give a fuck. But, like, during the game, like, that is your enemy. Yeah. Like, stop yucking it up with them. And so, yeah, giving out penalties because they're yelling at each other and shit is, I think, ridiculous.
It's just soft. Bro, I mean,
there's a lot of money on the line. These guys get paid a lot of money to play this game.
And there's a lot more videos of them missing clear calls than there are.
Yeah.
A lot of times they can't even back up what they call their penalties on.
Well, like, that's the one she ejected Drummond. She's like, I fucked up. Good for her to take ownership. A lot of refs wouldn't have.
Yeah.
No.
But it's just like, no, man, people don't come to a game. I'm not paying good money to go to a game. I don't pay my Comcast subscription to watch you ruin a basketball game or to watch you eject one of our best defensive players because he said something nasty to a player on the opposing team. No. No one's here for that. Even the guys on the other team are probably like, yeah, I mean, it makes our jobs easier, but as a competitor, you want to play against the best when they're at their best.
And now that game has an asterisk if you want to do it that way in the locker room where you're like, well, we didn't play against Embiid, so yeah, whatever. But it, you know, I think refs as a whole have gotten tremendously worse over the past couple of years across every league, really.
Yeah. Right, that's my point.
Like, the cameras have gotten better, so you see everything, and it's like, I still don't get what they do then. They should just be obsolete. Have one person there to, like, blow the whistle and, like, call it a day.
I know we were talking about going analog. Do we bring in robot refs? They wouldn't have no emotions, no feelings.
Nah, because someone could hack into that shit, and then like that's games true. Are getting all twisted.
Yeah, but... yeah, that is true, especially yeah. with the way betting is.
Right.
Yo,
robot refs brought to you by DraftKings.
It would be like Tim Dunahy 2.0.
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, the robot would be Tim Dunahy 2.0 would be a ref.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, the algorithms that the sports books use are just programmed mm-hmm. into the refs in real time. So they're just like calculating all these things from like nanosecond to nanosecond and adjusting the calls based on that.
Yeah,
and just to maximize the profits.
We can't be doing that.
We can't give that information.
So I guess we're just stuck with
the human.
We're just stuck with stupid people.
Yeah, soft ass refs, I guess. But anyway, yeah, sorry. I don't, we were talking about the Sixers, and I remember that Sixers game that got me real worked up that day.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. As far as the Sixers are concerned, they get you all hyped up because they beat the Spurs. They beat the Celtics on Christmas. Mm-hmm. They go out west. They win a couple games, and then you're like, yeah, this is it, baby.
They're on a good little tear.
They're on their way back. Mm-hmm. Then they go lose against Sacramento. They cough that game up in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Then that Golden State game was just butt cheeks.
Destroyed.
Ugh. And then they go beat the Nets, whatever. You're going to beat the Nets. But that game last night was a disgrace to basketball, dude.
Yeah. We were thinking about going to that game. Like, thank God.
Yeah. Oh, I would have been furious. Ugh. Even if I only paid $3.
Yeah, I know.
That is wild.
Still just tickets were so cheap. I would be annoyed at my time being stolen.
Yeah, I wasted 3 hours out of my life to come watch this.
Forget the money.
So, yeah, I don't really know what to think of them. Yeah, when Embiid plays, he looks better. But, I mean, here he is again with a foot sprain after, like, whatever's going on with his knee that he's been playing through. He's been playing pretty well in this face thing. And then Paul George, man, apparently he has groin tightness or something. He's out tomorrow, and he hasn't even really been that good. His stats, yo. So here's the interesting thing, right? Jimmy Butler, you know, Jimmy Butler's trying to get traded. Their stats are for this season. I know I did this. Their career stats in the offseason, I did this, and they were eerily similar. A lot of their counting stats are kind of the same right now. So PG is averaging 16.2 points a game, 5.6 rebounds, 4.6 assists, 1.8 steals. He's only shooting 41% from the field, 33% from three, 81% from the line. It's glorified Tobias Harris numbers, basically.
Yeah.
Tobias Harris with better defense. Jimmy Butler... 17.6 points per game, 5.5 rebounds per game, 4.7 assists, 1.2 steals. Jimmy is shooting better on fewer attempts. He's shooting 55% from the field, 37% from three, 78% from the line. So, like, the Sixers, regardless of who they would have picked up, whether they picked up Jimmy or they did what they did and picked up PG, I mean, it's kind of been disappointing.
Getting the same value anyway.
Yeah. And, I mean, the question people are asking now that Jimmy wants out, should the Sixers trade for Jimmy? They'd have to give up Paul George, probably. What do y'all think?
I don't think it's worth it. I mean,
it seems like this musical chair.
Yeah, it's like we did the same thing. We had our chance to keep him before. We let him go. Like, you got to let him go then. We can't keep doing this carousel of Jimmy Butler what-ifs, especially if it's like similar. What the fuck is the point then?
Plus, Jimmy... not for nothing, but he's always this locker room drama guy, right? Did you see this interview he did after the Heat game the other night?
No.
It was emo as hell. He's like, yeah, I just want to get my joy back from playing basketball. He goes, yeah, I like it here off the court.
I like Miami.
Yeah.
The Miami Heat? Maybe not such a fan.
I just want to get my joy back from playing basketball. And the person interviewing him is like, yeah, well, what do you think can be done about that? Jimmy goes, yeah, well, nothing. Nothing, I don't know. I just want to get my joy back. And that's pretty much the end of the interview. Then the next day, the Heat suspended him for 7 games.
Yeah, I saw that shit.
So it's just like, damn, like.
Man's just trying to get his joy back. Right. Come on, like.
But he's always.
That is kind of insane. Seven games. I know, like, the players' union is, like, fighting it.
Yeah, it's. You know,
it's kind of insane.
You know, hashtag Heat culture, man. This nonsense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the next stretch of games for the Sixers is going to be telling. Because the trade deadline's a month from yesterday. They play a lot of games. I kind of think that if. I don't know what's going to happen. Nick Nurse was Nick Nurch. He doesn't get to be called Nurse because he's been running terrible offense. But Nick Nurch was saying that he would hope some of the players can key players can play back to backs because they got a lot of back to backs coming up. It hinges on that. If Embiid and Paul George can lace up for a few back to backs, they probably end up at around 500 around the trade deadline in their buyers. If they don't, and they're 10 games under 500 at the deadline, they're going to still convince themselves that they should be buyers. They shouldn't be.
No. They're – yeah, it's just been disappointing. I mean, it's not totally unexpected, but it definitely – it just sucks, honestly.
It's just not fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just – this team is just exhausting, man.
Yeah.
And in the event that they do – let's say they are buyers – they already have terrible team chemistry for the most part, right? Like, you watched that game last night. They're not running really much offense. It's just, it was Kelly Oubre in the third quarter and Maxey in the fourth quarter, just running, giving them the ball over and over again. It felt like I was watching a high school rec league game.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, man. Like, that's no way to play NBA basketball in 2025. But no, they don't have team chemistry now. You go out and become buyers and bring in more guys that have never played with guys.
What are they
here.
Buying into if you bring someone new in?
Yeah, then you're going to have even lower team chemistry. Yeah. It's just a mess.
Yeah.
No, I don't have anything else
Sixers
to say about
it. Sixers
are a mess. Oh, no, their schedule's hard, though. Here, let me read this real quick.
What are they at right now?
They're 14-20.
At the seventh spot right
no,
now?
No, like the 11th.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, it's bad, dude. And then their schedule, get this. So their schedule, they play the Wizards tomorrow. But mind you, Paul George is out. Embiid, I think, is trending towards being out. Then they play the Pelicans, who are ass. Then they play Orlando, who's been pretty good, even though everyone's hurt. Then this is where it gets hard. They play OKC, the best team in the league.
The team that did the process correctly.
The very next night, they play
what
the Knicks.
Could have been?
Damn.
On national TV.
Oh, yeah, they're getting spanked.
Yeah, so, they're going to lose both those games. Yep. Then they play Indiana, who's always a pain in the ass. Then they play the Bucks. Then they play at Denver. You know Embiid's going to sit out that game for some ailment or something. Then after Denver, they get Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, they're done on that one.
Then the day after, they get Chicago.
Yeah, they're done.
So back-to-back again. Then it's the Lakers. Then another back-to-back against the Kings the next night. Then Denver again. Then Boston. Then Dallas. Then it lightens up with Miami and Detroit.
Jesus, that's a stretch though right there.
Yeah, they might be cooked. It just depends on if Embiid can play in these back-to-backs. If he can, they probably end up splitting this. And I don't know, they probably are okay at the deadline. But that's leading up to the deadline, these games I just read. They could end up 10 games below 500 at the trade deadline very easily.
Then definitely.
We'll see. I think my prediction where I said they end up a play-in team and don't make the playoffs, I feel really good about that.
I mean, you're sitting pretty with that, yeah.
I should have bet it.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. I guess speaking of bets, going back to the Eagles real quick.
Oh.
The infamous piss bet. that'll happen on a future episode.
Piss Watch 2025.
I'm too tired. Was not feeling it today. I do have to pee right now, but I'm not hyped up for it.
Impromptu Piss Watch. No, I'm kidding. But that'll come up. We'll make an announcement.
Yeah. Maybe we will. Maybe it'll just happen on the pod.
Yeah, you keep listening. Yeah,
I'm going to put pamphlets out all around the neighborhood. All
right.
Have people look in the window over there.
Well, that'll help us get our listenership up. Go for it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, that's it on the Sixers. I had the Flyers as the ugly. I think the Sixers were the ugliest.
Yeah, yeah.
The Flyers are just kind of bad.
The Flyers are at least an expected behavior. The Sixers just kind of suck. It's just sad to watch.
Yeah, Flyers are kind of what you expect them to be.
Yeah, they're tied 2-2 right now. It's Tuesday night. They're playing the Maple Leafs at home. It's tied 2-2.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're – I don't know, man. They just don't have good goaltending for the most part. Even without Ersson being out, I mean, they literally don't have a goaltender with a above 900 save percentage. That's pretty fucking bad.
Yeah, I mean, their save percentage as a team is 878.
Yeah,
it's the worst in the league.
Can't win like that. Yeah, and I'm not sure that they're really going to be able to do much at the deadline either. I'm sure they would like to sell. But they don't really have a Sean Walker type player, like a solid player on an expiring contract, like they did with him. Like everyone that they probably would be looking to unload has a year or two left on their deal. So like not really ideal for like a playoff team trying to beef up for, and get like a rental, you know? So I don't know, man. I feel like the big question is, you know, how do you feel about, like Torts and, you know, there was like a couple games ago where I think Mishkov only played like 9 minutes or something. And
yeah, that was
that kind of shit. Yeah.
To be fair, Mishkov committed a really dumb turnover in that game.
Yeah.
I remember watching and thinking, yeah, that's going to be it for him. And it was.
Mm.
But no, my problem with Torts, a lot's happened since the last time we recorded. The day after we recorded, you remember they sent Emil Andre down.
Oh, yeah.
That was asinine, dude. This guy was
playing great. I don't know if that has anything to do with Torts, but maybe.
I think Torts has a lot of power in the organization.
Yeah.
And I feel like somehow it ties back to him. Certainly there's other factors involved as far as.
Because he was getting scratched before that.
Right.
So that kind of. Like,
he wasn't playing great, but he was still giving you a better chance to win than Igor Zamula, you know what I'm saying?
For sure. Like,
I blame Torts for a lot of that. But then the whole Mishkov thing wasn't great. I mean, Torts has kind of gotten the short end of the stick with this goalie situation. It's not his fault. None of them are good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think demoting Coots to a fourth-line goon, which I said it kind of felt like he was, then he started playing better. Now he's not. Now Torts has him on the fourth line again. That's not fair.
I've been pretty bullish on Torts for his tenure here. I think that a lot of the stuff that he does that annoys people is kind of overblown, like how, you know, he'll like scratch a guy here and there, and it's like, well, like, I don't think it's like the biggest deal in the world.
If the guy's playing bad, I get it.
Yeah, to give a guy a night off. I mean, it has like worked a couple times when he did scratch Mishkov a couple times earlier this season. He came back, had some really good games after that. I think he's a very good coach. I think he lifts the floor of a lot of teams. And even going back to his tenure with the Blue Jackets, a lot of those teams had no business being in the playoffs. He got them there. I think he's a very good coach. I'm just kind of over it at this point because I know that he's not going to be the guy when this team is good again. And I'm like, I just want to, like, I'm kind of anxious to, like, who is that guy going to be? Like, who are we bringing in here to actually try to push this team to be a contender? And it's, I don't know, like, it's just kind of weird because Torch is sort of this more or less like a lame duck coach, and it's just hard to get really invested in the team. I don't know. That's kind of how I feel about it.
You think he stays? You think though he still stays within the organization?
Oh yeah. I mean, he's made it clear that this is going to be his last coaching job, and I think the organization has made it clear that he's going to be a part of the team going forward.
He'll be in
player development or something like
front office, quote unquote, advisory role.
Yeah, he'll be one of the.
The Flyers of all
they
organizations,
love those guys.
Exactly. Yeah, they love doing that.
Those
like
guys.
John LeClair is in the organization. Like, what does he do really?
Yeah.
Like, maybe he does a lot that I don't really know.
He gets his calls denied by Cutter Gauthier.
Exactly.
He gets left on red by Cutter Gauthier.
He's there to help the Flyers with situations like that, and he didn't do a good job. But Gauthier,
it was satisfying to see them beat his ass.
Yeah, yo, that game's when. Next week you're going.
I don't have tickets or anything.
I thought you had tickets to the Gauthier game.
I didn't.
Saturday before the Eagles-Packers game.
Well, the Eagles-Packers game on Sunday.
The Eagles-Packers game's Sunday, but the Flyers game against the Ducks is Saturday.
Oh, is that
right? That's going to be a lit weekend down at the sports complex, but those tickets are actually pretty expensive. They're the most expensive Flyers tickets all season.
It would be fun to go there and boo them, but I might not be around. But, yeah, I don't know.
But yeah, no, Gauthier's a bitch. But anyway, yeah, as far as Torts is concerned, man, I think the players respond pretty well to him, all things considered.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it would be so easy to tune out this old cantankerous boomer that, you know, just yelling at you and benching you for no reason. But at the same time, that message is going to start to wear thin.
Yeah. Right? Like, I mean, every coach is like, has like a message, and they all have a shelf life.
Mm-hmm. And yet,
eventually it wears thin, you know. And
Torts is notorious for that, right? Mm. So,
especially when you have a team that's not going anywhere. Like, you're in a development stage. Like, you're not – the rah-rah shit isn't working out. You're not going to the playoffs.
people that play for the Flyers have to know that they're in a building stage. Like, they're not, you know.
Plus, the other thing I'm thinking of too, right, is, yeah, like, that rah-rah, like, culture-building thing works now. But when you go to bring in this successor to Torts that's supposed to take you to the promised land, how are they going to feel, like, with Torts still in the organization?
Right. Overlooking still, their shoulder and shit, yeah, like that. Yeah,
that's going to be weird. So it would make sense to get him out of there and get that person in sooner than later to sort of start to establish their identity and their culture. Now, it can be similar to his. But, yeah, like, does he really need to be here? I don't know. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if he's still here next year.
I keep saying this every year that we're almost on year three of the pod. The first 2 years, so yeah. I said, yeah, Torts probably isn't going to last much longer. Somehow he's still here. He might outlast all of us.
I mean, he's certainly not going to. I don't think there's any circumstances where they would fire him midseason. There's just there's no reason to. It doesn't make any sense.
So it'd be a bit awkward, just a matter of
if he changed things up in the offseason or not. But I don't know.
Yo, does it feel to you like we're back in purgatory?
Dude, yeah. I've been watching this game,
and this is exactly where we were.
Look where we're in the standings. We would have, like, the 11th pick in the draft. It's, like, right back there.
Yeah, it feels like watching the Flyers 10 years ago.
It's just fucking Groundhog Day, man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man,
it's just, yeah, this is my – this is, like, always my concern with this team. It's, like, we've basically been – I feel like we've been watching the same Flyers season – for, like, over 10 years.
A new era of orange.
Yeah, I mean, Mishkov is Giroux of 12 years ago.
That's exactly what my fear has been. And I think it's earlier, though. Yeah, I said that before. My concern is that Mishkov is just going to be, like, the new Giroux, and we're going to have this superstar that they can't build around. And, like, you know, it's pretty early to, be definitive about that. They're still, you know, they have a lot of picks in this upcoming draft. There's a lot of things that are going to happen. It's only
He's still real young.
Danny Briere is only, I mean, what is this? This will be his
second full year.
Second full year as GM. So I'm not ready to bury them. But, I mean, this offseason, though, that's where shit needs to happen. Yeah. Like, one way or the other. Like, either, I don't know, they, like, do some trades in the draft. They got to start making some moves and making things happen.
Shaking some shit up real
quick. They just have too many guys who are basically, like, decent, like, bottom six guys.
Right.
But you can't build a contending team out of a bunch of good bottom six.
Like, their first line guys, like Konechny, ideally is a second line guy on a really good team.
Yeah.
And they don't have anyone else.
Right, right.
Right, and it's just the goaltending's been the problem. It was the problem 10 years ago. Carter Hart was supposed to fix that before he was a bad person, and we're right back where we started with the goaltending.
Yeah,
it's just, and then, like, the defense, I don't know, Jamie Drysdale, hopefully he turns into something. Yeah, Emil Andre could be something if they didn't send him down for some stupid reason. It's just
Oliver Bonk.
Yeah, Ollie Bonk's my man.
He looked, like, kind of not great in that Juniors.
I haven't been watching any of that. I saw the U.S. one.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't able to, like, watch any of it, but from what I heard, that he did not really look very good.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
I mean, Zavragin, save us all, dude.
Yeah, Zavragin, our new Russian savior,
our new goalie, our new Eastern European goalie that we can obsess over because Kolosov's ass. He's really ass, dude. He
does not
really
belong
bad.
In the NHL. He should be in the AHL. It's so obvious that he should be in the AHL.
But what do you make of this where he's saying, yeah, like, I did my time there?
That's insane.
In so many words, he said that in interviews before.
Absurd.
It's like, bro, you're 20 years old. Yeah. You don't know the NHL game.
Like, I'm not usually like this guy doesn't have the right attitude, like, get out of here, but I'm kind of almost at that point.
I mean, you could
that's a crazy thing to say.
You could kind of sense the last,
like,
year.
He played, like, less than 10 games in the AHL. Like, come on, man.
That's what he said verbatim, but I was listening to PHLY, and Charlie said, yeah, the vibe I'm getting is that he thinks he did his time.
Yeah,
it's like, you're clearly not ready for the NHL. You're 20 years old. Go back down there, learn the game. And if you don't like it, then
fine.
You go,
like,
back to...
Yeah, like, I'm not trying to bury the guy because he is very young. It takes a while, you know. It takes some adjusting if you're coming from the KHL to the NHL or whatever. He's obviously got some developing to do. He could still be a very good goalie. But, like, dude, yeah, I mean, come on.
Swallow your pride.
Yeah, you're not ready for this yet, clearly.
And then Fedotov's been pretty good the last two games against the Maple Leafs, not going to lie. It's still 2-2.
Yeah,
he's been solid
for what he's
a 28-year-old, 6'7" goalie. Yeah, not many 28-year-old, 6'7" goalies come to the league and last.
Yeah, I mean, he could be a pretty serviceable backup for a few years, maybe. We'll see.
So, yeah, I mean, Zavragin's got to save us, man.
Yeah.
Yegor, is it Yegor? How do you say his name?
I think it's just Yegor.
Igor. Igor Zavragin, man, save us all. Zavragin kind of sounds like save, and that's what he's going to do.
I like that.
He's going to save pucks. He's going to save the Philadelphia Flyers.
That's right, baby.
All right, I don't think I have nothing else on the Flyers. Do we have any nonsense? What's up with the Skip Bayless nonsense?
Oh, well, it's not necessarily Skip Bayless. Well, a little bit of it
I haven't totally been following that.
I've seen a few people were implicated.
Well, he was...
Well, it wasn't Skip Bayless the one who filed the lawsuit?
Skip Bayless got... I'm not fully correct
here.
Should
we not be bringing this up if none of us really knows what's going on?
Well, I thought it was related to this one specific chick as well. Who's
Joy Taylor. Joy Taylor. Yeah.
Well, he offered like $1.5 million to have for her to have like for him to have sex with her. It was like I can like change your whole world.
Oh man, I should try to find the clip because apparently like Stephen A was talking about that today and he was saying like I don't believe that because Skip Bayless is too cheap for that. Like, Skip Bayless,
you find it.
But, yeah, I gotta see.
Yeah, we'll
apparently that's what he did.
And
she turned it down. He got all upset.
But I seen something, and I don't.
Apparently, she's been sleeping with.
That's what
Acho
I was gonna
too.
Say.
Yeah,
like I saw that, and like I don't know, man, like. In this media landscape in 2025, people will just be spreading nonsense or rumors just because it gets you some engagement.
The only picture I saw was her with Emmanuel Acho and her with, like, a random Fox exec. Like, he's just, like, a random old white guy.
I don't know what happened.
Oh, here we go.
But
Stephen
just
a.
like I said, I've known Jay-Z for 25 years. I can't imagine that. I've known Skip for just as long. I can't imagine it. I can't imagine it. Especially when they brought up the $1.5 million. The Skip Bayless I know has a hard time giving away $15. But that doesn't mean that I have any inside knowledge about any of this. I don't, and I'm not going to get involved. I think it's incredibly dicey and irresponsible for people who don't know to act like they do know. But in the same breath, I also feel it's important that if you know people, or you think you know people and you've had a long-standing relationship with those people, that it's not a crime for you to say the person that I know, the person that I've been around, the person that I worked with in his case, imagining him being in this kind of position is shocking to say the least. All I could tell you is that it's not the Skip Bayless I know. I don't know her. I don't know them. I know Skip. And I'm very, very heartbroken that he finds himself in this situation, being accused of these allegations. But I can't be over the airways being irresponsible and attaching truth or innocence, you know, or guilt to anything that I know nothing about. All I can say, and I don't think it's a crime to say, is just like I said with Jay-Z, the person that I know for 25 years, I've never seen anything like that from that person.
Yeah, he's never known him to spend $15.
Right. That's too good. But I feel like Skip would be the kind of guy that would do that, though. He does give me those vibes.
Oh, he's a creep, dude.
Yeah.
He's a total creep.
But that's all I know about that. I mean, I don't...
Yeah, I mean, it's all just a bunch of allegations at this point.
I mean, yeah. And honestly, so who filed the... Didn't a woman file the harassment thing?
That's what I thought.
I don't know.
I guess like Stephen A said, we can't speak on it if we don't really know anything about it.
I don't know anything about this. Yeah. They got fires in California again.
They do.
Pacifico Palace or whatever it's called. Or Palisades.
There's more fires?
Big time.
Damn.
They got these big ass winds gusting up there, fucking up all these houses.
It's hot out there?
Well, it's not that it's that hot, but these fires are like, there's like hurricane force winds that turn the flames into like this really nice neighborhood.
Oh, I did see there were windstorms.
Yeah. Well, they were like, oh my God, this is going to affect people's lives for forever. I looked at the average price of a house where this fire is happening and they're $4.5 million. So I don't.
Oh, these people will be fine.
I don't feel that bad. I'm not going to lie.
Homeowners insurance and a $4.5 million house.
I'm like, yeah, I don't feel terrible about this at all.
Yeah, the wind could pick it up and blow it away. They'd be all right.
Yeah. They'll be just fine.
The.
Gulf of
America.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen this.
Yeah, the Gulf. Yeah, Trump says the Gulf of Mexico is going to be called the Gulf of America soon. That's like some old school shit. That's like
Freedom Fries. Yep. Yeah. Yes. You remember the one episode I was on here ranting about Freedom Fries? Yeah. That's the 2025 version of it.
And they're on about trying to end. They want Greenland.
Yeah,
Greenland.
They want it's Canada. Just ice. They want Canada. Greenland.
Does Greenland have oil or something? I don't think they have anything. For?
Maybe look up Greenland. It's just a big ice cap.
Exports. I know we have. Don't we have missiles on that shit or like a base?
Who Greenland's owns Greenland right now?
The Dutch, don't they?
Denmark. Okay. Yeah, Denmark. Yeah, I believe they're a territory of Denmark. They're the Danish.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. The Netherlands or the Dutch. Yes.
Yeah.
My apologies to any Danish or.
What is the main export of Greenland? Greenland's economy depends on exports of shrimp and fish.
Oh, they want the shrimp.
They want that shrimp.
Yeah,
shrimp.
Seafood ain't cheap, yo.
We got fucking cocktails. Bubba Gump up there.
Yeah, I don't understand.
I don't really understand the. Then you got Canadian parliament members being like, "All right, well,
Justin Trudeau, we want
Alaska and Minnesota."
He resigned.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to be stuck holding the bag when Canada becomes a 51st state.
Right.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
Maybe he already got the bag. He's like, "Yeah, I'm going to retire.
Yeah.
I'm out."
So that's
I'm
like, done. Yeah, I feel like there was some press conference today, and I feel like the big three things with Trump was like Greenland, Gulf of America, and yes, we want to make Canada the 51st state.
Yeah, I saw the 51st state thing. I was like, what?
Yeah. He said they'll use economic warfare to make Canada.
He said he would even use troops for the Greenland one.
He's just like, I'm going to make a deal. So many deals. Dude,
how is a giant piece of land like Canada going to become one state?
There's no way. I guess
in terms of population, it's like let me see. How many
more people probably live in Toronto?
Probably more people live in like California than in all of Canada. I would imagine that's probably true.
Right. You're only gaining those couple cities that they have. Like everything else is just land.
Yeah. You want the Yukon? Canada, like
Newfoundland
about
and all 40 that
shit. Million people.
How many?
About 40 million.
In the whole country?
Mm-hmm.
Most of which probably live in Toronto.
California has 38.97 million. So,
but still.
That's a lot of land, though.
Yeah, it's a lot of. I was thinking about how funny it would be if. Because you know how no Canadian hockey team has won the Stanley Cup for like 20 plus years or whatever? Like since the 90s or whatever. It would be really funny if Canada officially becomes a 51st state and then immediately the Maple Leafs win the next three Stanley Cups. It's like the Maple Leafs and the Flames, the Jets, they all just start Canucks, like crushing, just like owning the league.
But they have to sing the national anthem.
But they have, no more O Canada. It's done. It's gone.
Yo, O Canada's fire, though.
So we would have all of North America.
Dude, I used to think that, you know how, like in O Canada, they say, like, we stand on guard for the. Mm-hmm. Before I actually knew the words to that, I used to think that they were saying we stand on God. And I was like, damn, that's metal, dude. Like, Canada's national anthem is fucking sick. Well, like, we stand on God for Canada.
Canada's all right. But, yeah, that's absurd, yo.
I don't see it happening, to be honest with you.
You're going to have people in Quebec speaking different languages from the other 50.67 states or whatever.
Yeah,
no, that doesn't work.
Well, dude, it'll really ignite the, you know, because like Quebec nationalism has always been a thing. You know, there's people who think
that's
Quebec
true.
Should be.
Maybe they'll truly annex.
Maybe if Canada gets annexed, maybe that just starts really popping off because now they're like, all right, like we've tolerated being part of Canada, but we're not going to be part of fucking America. Yeah. We're not gonna be part of, like, come on, like we're fucking French. Like fuck this. Then they might start doing like terrorism. They're going to be like French terrorism in the United
States.
That'd
be wild.
A bunch of moose.
Yeah. Bunch of, I don't know.
Yeah, we'd have the Canadian or the French Canadian version.
Poison the syrup supply.
Yeah.
The French Canadian version of Luigi Mangione, dude.
Oh yeah.
It would be what's a good French name?
Jacques.
Yeah, yeah.
Mangier.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. You're gonna say Buongiorno.
Mangier de Batu.
Yeah, we'll have that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I just this is
2025 really starting off with a bang here.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, man. Yeah, it's going to be like...
We got four years of this shit. He didn't even last 1 month yet. He's not even in there yet. He's like, fuck it, I'm going to buy Canada. I want Greenland. And we're going to make it to Gulf America.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like that old saying, like, you know, history repeats itself. It's like it's one says tragedy, one says farce. And I feel like the first Trump was already the farce part. And now we're just like double farce. Oh, we're just like, you know, exponential farce.
Yeah.
It's just going to get...
and this is just one just month
real
in.
Cartoon land type of shit.
It's going to be like... Don't get it twisted. Things are going to suck in a lot of ways for a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But there's going to be things that happen that just...
The content is
going
to be...
What the hell is going... who is running this country?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's good we have a podcast that we can... mostly talk about sports, but I mean,
we'll
there's going to be
we'll
some
posted
some
on
loony
events,
times
you know?
Coming up, yo.
We missed a big holiday. What was it? Yesterday?
What was it? Oh, what? January 6th. Yeah, I'm disappointed that there was no liberal January 6th happened. It was like...
Yeah. No big revolt.
There's nobody in like with like NPR tote bags storming the Capitol. I was like, fuck, man. With their... The fucking latte, throwing lattes at the Capitol building.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
January 6th was yesterday. Damn.
Yeah. Well, those guys might all get pardoned now.
Oh, yeah. 1,500 people. Yeah.
But, dude, I saw this one thing. Because remember there was that one kid who turned his dad into the FBI? And his dad said, like, you're a traitor, blah, blah. Now the kid's I'm worried that my dad's going to kill me.
His dad's going to come home and get his ass.
My dad's going to beat the shit out of me when he gets home.
If I was that kid, I'd run away from home.
Like, man. No you ran joke. Up your dad, then he gets loud. You're like, well, this backfired.
But you can't flee to Canada anymore because they're going to have jurisdiction there soon.
And he can't flee to Mexico.
Yeah, you're going to have to go overseas. Not Greenland.
Yeah, he can't go to Greenland. Not Panama. He can't go to Greenland. Yeah. My man's going to be hiding.
That man's fucked.
He'll be hiding somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
And what about Kim Jong-un making hot dogs illegal?
What
the hell is that? Is that real?
It sounds. That can't be real. Sounds like a fake story to me. Yeah, I don't know. It's like not to defend North Korea, but I feel like there's so much like just bullshit stories that come out about.
It's true.
Because it's just because you could literally print anything about North Korea and people will believe it.
It's true.
That right.
You know what I mean?
I was going to say that is an outrage.
It's like you read the article and it just says, according to reports, it's like reports from who?
Right. They don't send anything out to the world.
Where is this information actually coming from? Yeah. Like, do you have someone on the ground in North Korea that's telling you these things? Like,
no one has anybody. No one has.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be particularly shocking, but it also just sounds made up.
Unless Dennis
Rodman. What was that? That was in like the New Zealand Herald or some shit.
Which in New Zealand, of course, they're going to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Unless Dennis Rodman wrote the article, I don't trust it. Dennis Rodman.
I know. I need Dennis Rodman to confirm anything.
Our main inside source, Dennis Rodman, confirms no more hot dogs in North Korea.
Dennis Rodman influenced the decision. He said, that don't be eating that processed fake meat.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Damn, Dennis Rodman, to think he saved the world from a nuclear catastrophe.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to become,
Where's his fucking Medal of Freedom, whatever that Biden was giving out? Dennis Rodman
he's giving out the Medal of
Freedom. Trump will give him one. Trump.
Congressional Medal of Honor.
Something like that.
Yeah, I saw Michael Dennis, J. Fox go on.
Denzel got, he gave it to like 30 people that day.
Yeah, but
I thought it was reserved to like a one person.
He's just going wild.
Let out a bunch of Guantanamo guys, too. Now, there's only 15 prisoners left in Guantanamo.
Damn.
But yeah, he should just keep doing all kinds of crazy shit. He's gonna die soon.
Yeah,
like he might as well just
he's the oldest living president now that Jimmy Carter's dead.
He was like, I've met more world leaders than you know. God damn it, to like somebody like he's just popping off on people.
Yeah, if I was, I would just be going nuts right now. Biden, I'd be doing all kinds of wild ass shit.
Fuck yeah, make a couple more laws while you're out there, do your thing. Yeah,
just. Yeah, just what's the goofiest executive order I can come up with?
I mean, the biggest troll too would just be to come out in like a big ass diaper too.
Yeah, just walk around. No clothes, just a diaper.
Walking around the lawn with your
dog. If it wasn't going to be like so cold in January like 23rd for the inauguration, I'd say he does it.
Yeah.
But it's going to be too cold for that.
Yeah.
Something like that. He should be doing some weird shit.
Yeah, that is wild to think he probably is going to die soon. Like, he's going to get out of office and probably die in a few years.
Definitely.
Unless he's on that Jimmy Carter where he lives until he's 100.
Nah, Jimmy Carter is building houses. Have you seen this man walk on a beach?
Yeah, true.
I mean, this guy's not built to last to be 100 years old.
I don't think Biden's going to be building any houses anytime soon.
Jimmy Carter was 95
holding hammers.
How old is Biden? He's like 80.
82 or 83, I think.
I thought he was like 87.
No, I don't think he's
I don't think he's that, yeah.
I'm going to say he's 80.
I want to say 82 or 83.
82, might, yeah.
Does he turn 83?
I got to say, like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like for a guy who's, you know, part of the elite ruling class of the wealthiest nation on earth, like, you should be in better, you know.
He looks bad.
82, like, I don't know. It's not, like, insane old.
Yeah,
it's old, but
my,
it's
my
like,
granddad's
it's not run. It's not run
like
a country.
Access to the best medical care in the world. Like, you should, I mean, I don't know. It's just like, damn, like, what it. Was that some wild years in there somewhere, I guess.
I mean, he literally had a fun life when he was younger, for sure. Eating all that ice cream, probably. Fucked up his brain.
Yeah.
Buck Biden, dude.
Too much ice cream.
Damn. I'll miss Sleepy Joe, though.
Yeah. Especially once Trump starts being a lunatic.
Yeah. He's going to talk so much shit about Joe Biden when he gets in there.
That will be kind of funny, but yeah. He will.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I think that'll just about do it for us here tonight, everybody. Thank you for listening and tuning in. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review over to your podcast. Give us a subscribe on YouTube. Follow on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Send us an email, citywidepod@gmail.com. And from all of us here at the Citywide, good morning, good afternoon, good night.
Peace.
Go Birds.